Hello, viewers, and hello, listeners, and welcome back to Spooky Shenanigans, your podcast for all things spooky, creepy, and downright strange. And it's season three! Woohoo!
We're back, baby!
Yes, we are back again. And with a vengeance. A vengeance that burns so hot. It puts Mordor to shame. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Nah.
Hey, we're back.
Moving on.
If you are new to the podcast, my name is PJ. I am the resident skeptic. And my co-host is Nell, and she's the resident believer. Hi, Nell.
Hello. Hello, my spooky darlings.
And boy, do we have a season lined up for you.
Oh, yeah.
We have got lots of spooks, lots of ghouls, lots of unproven things,
mystery.
You know, the standard or something. The mystery machine. But before we get on to that side of things, I just want to let you know a few new things that are going to happen in season three. So I'm just going to take you through those before we get into the episode. You know, this isn't a professional podcast. We don't have a team behind us. Everything we do, the production, all the costs come from me and Nell. And until we've got an actual official sponsor, it all comes out of our pockets. Now, we found out that quite a lot of you do love the content, and we really appreciate that, and we want to continue giving you the best content. So, we have devised a plan. We have set up a Buy Me a Coffee account, which allows you to effectively do that, donate a little bit of money just to show your gratitude and, I mean, not help us keep the lights turned on, because we're not that close to having the lights turned off, but just to allow us to put in bonus content for you. Extra special content, access all areas, exclusive live streams, all that sort of stuff, which, now, if you are one of our Spooky Shenanigans super fans, you're going to love. So I'm going to put a link into the podcast description, so you could pop over there. I've also shared it on our Instagram, The Spooky Shenanigans, so we'd appreciate it if you could share the love on that side.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Moving on to another thing is, this is actually, again, off the back of questions and, I won't say demands, you demanding lot, about merch. And I know Nell and I have been speaking about this for the last two seasons, but we finally got some merch for all of you.
We do. Yes, let me pull our finger out.
And aren't the designs cute?
Of the designs, they're just so adorable. I love them.
We're little chibi anime designs, we are. We're little cartoon characters now, so we're just waiting for the shop process, everything. And as soon as that's done, we'll put it out on Instagram, all the socials. We'll include a link again as well on our podcast. So you want to go over and take a look and get yourself a Spooky Shenanigans t-shirt, a Yes Dear hoodie, a Ghostus Interruptus baseball cap, whatever. We even do shower curtains, pillows, duvet sets.
Clocks. Phone
covers. Yes. Laptop cases.
It's crazy.
It is. Oh, they look so cute. So we'll definitely share that with you as soon as that's processed, which by the time this episode comes out, should be good to go. Yeah. And then a couple of other things. One of the most important ones is that Nell and I, you know, you probably know that we did an in-person Spooky Shenanigans video on YouTube last year when we went to Hampton Court Palace. We are going to be doing a couple more of those this season. So look out for those. And we are going to be doing, well, we're going to be repeating what we did in October for NOLA October, but we're going to be doing it in the spring. But I'm not going to spoil that surprise. You can wait to see what nasty, spooky things we're going to talk about.
I'm excited.
So am I. I'm doing a little wee. So, without further ado now, shall we get into episode one of season three?
Woohoo! Let's do it.
So again, if you're unfamiliar with how it goes, I usually come in with a brief introduction of the case and the episode content, and then Nell comes in with the detail. I disprove it all and end the podcast, really, because it's nonsense.
Yes.
Yeah, got one already. And I'm going in hard this season. So in today's episode, again, as you know, we like to go in with a big one and finish with a big one. So we're starting season three with a super mysterious case. Very strange. And it's located in California, in San Jose. And it's a mansion filled with numerous rooms, weird stories, doors that lead off the side of the house, and stairs that lead nowhere.
Fun.
And yeah, I know. Sounds like my house, really. And it all stems off the back of, best way to put it, the gun that won the West. And if you know your American history, you know that I'm talking about the Winchester. See, we're invested in actual sound effects now. I've got a sound machine here. Yeah. Yeah, that's just me being me. Today we're talking about the Winchester Mansion and its weird happenings, the supposed sightings, and some ridiculous pictures I've seen taken where people are like, oh, it's a ghost. I'm like, no, it's just a smudge. That is a smudge. That is not a ghost. That is a black smudge. Shut up. But yeah, there you go now.
Thank you very much. I'm passing the mic over.
Yeah. All sound effects there.
So the Winchester Mystery House is the beautiful yet somewhat bizarre mansion built by Sarah Pardee Winchester, heiress of the Winchester Repeating Arms fortune. Born Sarah Lockwood Pardee, she was the fifth child and fourth daughter born to parents Leonard and Sarah Pardee in the summer of 1839 in New Haven, Connecticut. Though she was formerly called Sarah, she was named after her paternal grandmother, Sally Pardee Goodhear, and was called Sally all through her life and signed all her correspondence using this name. Kind of interesting. Like, I don't know if that was like a thing that they did back then, like you'd have like your formal name but were called like an ancestral name. I don't know.
I don't think we've come across it in any other episodes, have we? Not that we've known about it.
We have, no. So yeah, listen, if you have more of an idea of, like, you know, history of that kind of time period with, like, you know, all to do with names, then let us know, because that would be really interesting to find out.
Yeah, please do. It was Sally with an IE as well, wasn't it? It wasn't even a Y.
No.
I've never seen a Sally with an IE.
I mean, there's the Sally House, which is a completely different, like, haunted house in America called Sally House. But other than that, I've never seen it spelt with IE at all.
Oh, you Americans, you always want to do things differently, don't you? Always causing a problem. I love you really, please, for listening.
The name Lockwood was Pardee's father's longtime friend, Lockwood Sanford, who was the well-known New England wood engraver. So it kind of feels like their names are just like a mishmash of various others. Like, don't get me wrong, it's really cool to have like that, like, dedication to like a family member or close friend, but yeah, it's kind of cool. I've never kind of come across something like that before.
Dunno.
Sarah's father was a skilled craftsman who had an established mill and woodshop called Leonard Pardee and Company. And Sarah, she was incredibly smart and incredibly educated, which, of course, you know, for that kind of time period was quite rare. She was an excellent musician, could speak four different languages fluently, and was incredibly knowledgeable in the maths and sciences. And now, PJ, I know that you often tease me about my height. Okay, so I'm about like 5'2", 5'3". Sarah was a petite 4'10" and 95 pounds. And
wow.
I know. Yeah, she was tiny, teeny tiny.
Hobbit.
Yeah, like, when I was doing the research, I obviously found it. I was like, an adult is actually smaller than me. Amazing.
That would make you queen of the munchkins if you hung out.
Rude. So, she gained a reputation as one of the area's great beauties, nicknamed the Belle of New Haven. Now, that just kind of makes me think of the jewel in Bridgerton. You know, he's going to be the season's jewel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's it. I do love me a bit of Bridgerton.
Yeah, it was coming back in May, third season.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
I know.
It's going to be so good.
Yeah, I'm rewatching Downton Abbey at the moment because I just needed my fix of period drama.
Very good. Downton.
I just read the Dowager Countess. She's insulting someone.
He makes it.
She's insulting someone and she goes, oh, well, I'll take that as a compliment. And she goes, I must have been saying it wrong.
Oh, she has some amazing lines. I love her. I love her. So at the age of 23, she would marry William Wirt Winchester, aged 25, on Tuesday, September 30th, 1862. Well, William was the son of a wealthy shirt manufacturer who would later become known for being the founder of the Winchester Repeating Arms Company. And the two of them had been childhood friends and neighbours. So although technically theirs was something of an arranged marriage, like, they'd known each other pretty much their entire lives. And so, you know, it wouldn't have been like, you know, going into a marriage, like, not knowing each other. You know, it's...
Well, it's a good job they got on as kids then, wouldn't it? Otherwise they'd be fucked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it would have been a little bit awkward otherwise. But, yeah, I mean, like, you know, I don't know, if I'd had to have, you know, gone into an arranged marriage, I would have much rather gone into one actually knowing the person rather than, you know, having met, like, once or twice before the wedding and then rocking up at the church like, hi, you know, it's...
Yeah, because, I mean, attraction, you can grow to find somebody attractive over time sometimes. But if you know, especially if you know them as a friend and you've known them for a while, you know their character. But don't get me wrong, if I had to marry a billionaire in an arranged marriage, then I'd probably be okay.
He's like, oh, go on then.
What, you mean I have to stay at home and look pretty and just do nothing for the rest of my life? Shame.
I know, like, if I had, like, a ton of money, I think I'd still want to, like, you know, work or do something, even if it was just, like, voluntary work.
Yeah, I'm totally joking about sitting at home. I would,
like,
go insane. Like,
you'd get mad.
Yeah. You know, the amount of projects I've got going on at once, there's absolutely no way I would cope doing nothing.
Oh, no way. No.
No, I'd be in bedlam within a week.
It's lovely stat.
Yeah, exactly. At least I'd meet Ellie. Nah. No, I wouldn't be married to you.
Mean. So, because of building material shortages during the Civil War, the two actually lived with William's parents on Court Street for a while. And, I mean, look, like I said, like, the two families were very, very close anyway. So, yeah, it was just basically one happy family, really. And they'd hoped to build their own home on Prospect Hill. So after the war in 1866, the new home began construction. And during the construction of their home, the Winchesters embraced learning about architecture and design. And architecture and design would become lifelong hobbies for Sarah, who also learned about real estate investment and financial strategies from William and her father-in-law. So, you know, like she was an incredibly smart cookie.
Yeah, she reminds me of Belle from Beauty and the Beast. Well read, yes, and attractive.
Yes, very much, yeah. So, like this woman, she was the whole package. You know, she had the look, she had the brains. You know, she, very, very good catch.
Mm.
So her father-in-law, Oliver, was the co-owner of the Winchester Davies shirt manufactory, and William was being groomed to take over the company. However, Oliver would also develop something of an interest in the firearms business, and after taking control of the Volcanic Arms Company, he established the Winchester Repeating Arms Company in 1860, sold his interest in the shirt company and became secretary of Winchester Repeating Arms. So, yeah, he basically went, shirts, nah, guns are where it's at, basically. Which,
oh, man.
Him, I guess. In, like, yeah. You know, go where the money goes, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
The family business became immensely successful. Its Winchester model 1873 rifle was known as the gun that won the West. And the company sold more than 700,000 rifles from that year through 1916.
Wow.
That's, wow, yeah. That's a lot of guns. Wild West luminaries Buffalo Bill Cody and Annie Oakley celebrated their prowess with their Winchesters, as did President Theodore Roosevelt. The Harold was finally completed in 1868 and was approximately 20,000 square feet, had over 20 rooms with marble floors, decorative fireplaces and chandeliers, large bay windows, plasterwork ceilings and a circular drive in front. So, no small house. This was a sweet deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect anything less. And just going back to the Winchester rifle, they're kind of like the influencers of their time. Because if I wanted anyone to sell my rifles, it would be Buffalo Bill, Annie Oakley, and Teddy Roosevelt. I mean, better than getting Kylie Jenner to do something, isn't it?
Hey. On June 15th, 1866, Sarah would give birth to a baby girl they named Annie Pardee Winchester in honour of William's late sister who had died during childbirth. And unfortunately, this is where the story starts to get quite sad and quite dark.
Mm-hmm.
The child suffered from a condition called marasmus and died within 6 weeks of her birth. Now, I believe that marasmus is basically a condition where the body can't absorb the nutrients, and so you basically starve to death, even though you're So although she was being fed, like, her body just wasn't absorbing the nutrients that she needed. And yeah, losing a child
would be itself,
but to have to just watch your child starve and then there's nothing you can do about it, like, that's just terrific.
Yeah, there's no two ways about it. That's fucked up. No one deserves that.
No. No, it's really just awful. So the couple were devastated and would withdraw from society for almost a year, which, you know, like, I can't so blame them, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I would as well. Just close the doors, close the doors. Draw the curtains. That's horrific.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that would just be the start of things to come. So in May of 1880, her mother would pass away. Then her father-in-law, Oliver Winchester, would die December that same year. And with his death, that would then meant that her husband then took on the Winchester business.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he was not in charge of that for very long, because only 3 months later, in March 1881, he would then die from tuberculosis, leaving everything to Sarah. I mean, that's just, I mean, you know, I get that people passed away frequently or various different things in that time period, but to lose 3 people that are so close to you in the space of a year, that's just,
That's
awful. Yeah.
That's what you call an annus horribilis. That's, shite. That's Latin for shite.
Yeah, I mean, like, some years ago, I lost my grandfather and best friend within, like, the space of some, like, 6 months, and that was bad enough, but my heart totally goes up to Sarah, because, yeah, that's, ugh, it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah. I mean, there would be some light at the end of the tunnel if her child was still alive.
Oh.
You know.
To
keep the name going, to keep the memories alive, but just alone. She had no one, didn't she?
Yeah. No, that's just, oh, poor woman. Poor woman.
No. Yeah, it's a wonder they ended up making a really bad film out of it.
It was a pretty awful film.
I know, and star power. I saw Dame Helen Mirren, that beautiful goddess woman, and I thought, this is going to be excellent.
Yeah.
Watched it. wanted to find a way to erase my memories.
That's an hour and a half of my life I'm never getting back.
Yeah, I would probably have more fun being tortured by North Korean soldiers.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how bad that film is.
I mean, it is pretty bad. I will give you that. It is pretty bad. Although, fun fact, they did actually film a few of the scenes in the Winchester house. So that's quite
cool. Oh, that's pretty cool. Okay, yeah, that's good. A little bit of authenticity. Okay, so it gets a 2 out of 5, not a 1 out of 5. The Robert the Doll movie. I have to mention that again.
No, no, we do not talk of that Robert the Doll movie. No, 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 no.
We still need to watch that and really rip it apart.
So suddenly Sarah Winchester was in possession of a $20 million fortune. And that would be roughly the equivalent of about $500 million in the present day. And not only that, but she was also a 50% stakeholder in the Winchester Arms Company. And although she never actually took up a position in the business, her stake left her with a continuous income of roughly $1,000 a day, or about $26,000 a day in 2019 dollars. So she was a wealthy, wealthy woman.
Yeah, she could afford the milk.
Yeah, yeah. And then some. Like, yeah. She could afford, like, the cream on top of the milk.
She could afford the dairy.
The farm. Like, jeez, Louise, can you imagine just, like, waking up each day, like, oh, that's another thousand, that's another thousand, that's another thousand, thank you very much. Like, jeez, Louise.
Well, yeah, back then, now it's like, that's another 26,000, that's another 26,000. What am I going to spend it on today?
Right? Like, you literally have, like, more money than you know what to do with. I would not know.
Probably. I mean, I'd probably be on Just Eat or Deliveroo all day and be dead in 6 months. Overdose on Chinese food. Oh, I'm hungry now.
No, no, no. First of all, okay, I would get us a place in New Orleans for the Spooky Shenanigans headquarters.
Oh, which one, though? I don't know if I'd want Jack's or the Sultan's. I'd have to go for Madame LaLaurie's.
Oh, now you're talking.
And then I'd have the attic as my bedroom.
Of course you would. Of course you would, darling.
Keep the shackles up. Oh, no. Take them away. I've got my own.
So, after her husband's death, Sarah went to live in Europe for a few years, which, to be honest, I can't really say blame her. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't you after go through all that? It's like, see you later. I'm out of here.
It's true. That sort of level of grief, normally you go, I'll go spend some time with my loved ones, my family.
Mm.
But they're all dead. So, yeah, let's get as far away from the place that reminds me of them as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, you know, of course, you know, back in those times, we, like, they didn't have the luxury of planes. So that would have been, like, weeks of traveling on a boat.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd been a long time. But when you've got $26,000 a day.
Oh, yeah.
Not a 9-to-5 you need to worry about. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, yeah, like, she would have been able to have afforded first class without a problem.
Absolutely, darling.
So she only returned in 1884 when her older sister, Mary, passed away of cancer.
Oh,
so, like, yeah, I know, I know. Just,
I feel sorry for this
trip. A constant stream of death, isn't it? Like,
you know, I don't often. I do empathize with a lot of the people that we talk about in here, but I don't feel like real deep emotion. But Sarah Winchester, I just want to go back in time and just give her a hug.
Right? Yeah.
I know.
Exactly. Like, just, like, oh, honey. Oh, honey. Yeah. I just want to go back and give her the biggest hug.
Yeah. We got you, girl. We got you.
Yeah. There's a very popular story surrounding the Sarah Winchester and the Winchester House mystery, and that often go to a psychic medium. And
okay, you know, here we go.
Time, you're just waiting for.
We're not going to be friends anymore. Yeah, we're not friends anymore. Silly cow.
And I mean, at this point in time, this wasn't unheard of. I mean, to us, it was thinking to be common. I mean, it was just after the Civil War. Pretty much everyone had lost at least one person to it. And so, you know, they were all looking for that, like, reassurance, you know, from their loved ones who had passed, and or messages, and, you know, things of that nature. So,
yeah.
After losing all these people, all these loved ones, Sarah would go to the psychic and the medium. And the popular story is that a particular medium told her that the reason that she had lost so many people in such a short space of time was that her family was cursed, because the spirits of the people killed by the Winchester rifles were angry.
Mm.
And the only way to appease them would be if she moved west and built a house, and not just built a house, but kept building in order to appease the loved ones, the spirits of the victims.
Yeah.
And she then went on to be told that if she were to stop, she would die. So this is the hell of a thing to be told. You know, you go to a medium expecting some kind of, you know, reassurance from loved ones who have passed on, and to be told, yep, no, like, you're cursed. The entire family's cursed. Go build a house. We're still going to die too. Like, not exactly the reassurance you're looking for there.
Now, as a cynic, I'm cynical about people as well. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've met a number of assholes in my time who are definitely wolves in sheep's clothing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would love to know if this medium, this psychic, had contacts with family members who are construction people out west. She was like,
I have the same thoughts, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, like, look at this mug. It's all right. Billy Joe will help you out. Oh, no, I don't know him. It's just coincidence we have the same surname.
Absolutely. Nothing shady going on here, mate.
No, I have one thing to say to you, psychic. And you know she can hear this from beyond the grave.
Well, we all knew that was coming.
Well, her family knew Sarah Winchester was coming as well. Taking advantage of poor Sarah like that. Poor Sally. I'm real angry now.
Breathe. In with anger, out with love.
No.
Just no. Just nice.
Yeah. Just now.
Just now.
Like, that is another t-shirt design.
Yeah, just now.
Nope, 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 nope. Nope, yeah, I forgot to do that one. That's season four.
I just...
Yes. See, it's universal. It's brilliant. It's genius.
Just now.
Yeah. Fine, next year.
Just now. Just now. Look at the chat. Just now.
Just by next year, Rodney, we'll be millionaires. To all our American listeners, just type that into Google. It'll make sense then.
So, apparently, in Sarah Winch's opinion, her newfound fortune was blood money, which basically was, like, you know, like, you're making millions off the lives of mostly Native Americans.
Guns don't kill people, rappers do. That's all I got to say. I am the Winchester Rifle Association's PR man. But yeah, I totally understand that. If you create instruments of war, then you're probably going to be labeled a certain way.
Yeah.
I'm not going there with things that are going on at the moment in certain parts of the world. So yeah.
No. I think everyone knows what these are referring to, and it's terrible. And yeah, people suck. I've said it before and I've said it again. People bloody suck.
They do. Some suck better than others, but you set me up there. Don't get me.
I mean, I was just going to say, and not in a fun way, but you know.
Anyway.
So soon after her visit to the medium, she packs up and moves as far west from New England as she could to the sunny bayside city of San Jose, California. So obviously we have the legend that, you know, a medium told her to go and build and everything like that. In actuality, it's more likely that she was advised to go from her doctor because, for one thing, Sarah suffered a lot with arthritis. And so, in the cold weather, she would get incredibly painful joints. And so idea was, if it's warm and sunny, that would be better for her all round, and would also, you know, help. And the doctor also suggested, like, you know, well, yes, you've, you know, lost all these people, like, you need something to, like, focus on, to take your mind off things, you know, so, like, you know, basically find something that you enjoy doing. And of course, you know, she, as we'd mentioned before, had a massive interest in you know, architecture and carpentry and building in general, because of what, you know, or of like how she'd been brought up around that kind of thing. So it kind of makes sense in that way, you know. So in 1884, she purchased an unfinished eight-room farmhouse in the Santa Clara Valley. And instead of hiring an architect, she enlisted the services of a team of carpenters and directed them to build directly onto the farmhouse as she saw fit. So basically, she didn't even have like actual like blueprints drawn up, apparently. I mean, if she had, then they still haven't been found. It was basically a case of, like, I want this here, this here, this built here. You know,
yes,
yeah.
Well, she wasn't building for purpose, was she? She was building to drown out the ghosts coming to kill her.
And before long, the rundown farmhouse was a seven-story mansion built by a team working around the clock. That's that's pretty impressive. To be fair, seven stories. That's wow.
Yeah. Did it say how quickly they built it in?
It doesn't. However, I have the notes right here. Apparently, within about 6 months, she'd already extended it to like 26 rooms.
Wow.
So,
I should get them here.
Yeah.
I should get them here. Like, honestly, it takes the council 6 months to repair a 20-foot road here.
Right.
She could build a whole block of flats, a giant seven-story mansion in that time.
I know. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. So, it said that she was actually incredibly good to her workers. She paid well over the average price, which, to be fair, like, she could well afford it. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And many modern day historians speculate that one of the reasons she kept building was because of the economic climate at the time. And by continuing the construction, she was able to keep locals employed, which again would totally explain another reason possibly why she kept building.
Yes, and also just adds to why I love Sarah Winchester so much.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I think I'm in love with a dead person. It's really weird.
Yes, you are, darling. Yes, you are.
And I was born not too far from Winchester. There's a tenuous link there.
I was born in Winchester.
There we go. There's our link.
With the hospital. There we are. And I grew up on Winchester Road.
Really?
I did. Yes.
That's mad. That is mad.
I know. I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
That is. That's so cool.
So due to the lack of actual plan and the presence of an architect, the house was constructed haphazardly. Rooms were added onto exterior walls, resulting in windows overlooking other rooms. Multiple staircases would be added, all with different sized risers, each giving multiple staircases would be added, all with different sized risers, giving each staircase a distorted look. Stranger still was that the fact that many of the alterations seemed somewhat pointless. Staircases would ascend several levels then end abruptly. Doors would open to a solid wall and hallways would turn a corner and end in a dead end. Additionally, Winchester insisted that the home be built exclusively out of redwood. However, she didn't like the look of the wood, so she insisted it be covered with a stain and grain. By the time the house was completed, over 20,000 gallons of paint has been used to cover the wood. I know. Like, I mean, obviously, I mean, if you have that kind of money, then sure, I guess.
It sounds like she got through more paint than Michelangelo did in the Sistine Chapel.
Right?
Not quite the same masterpiece, but... Still a lot of paint.
Yeah, a little lot of paint.
So, yeah.
Inside, it was one of complete opulence. So gold and silver chandeliers hung from the ceilings above hand-inlaid flooring. Dozens of artful stained glass windows created by Tiffany & Co. dotted the walls, including some designed by Louis Comfort Tiffany himself. Even more luxurious than the fixtures was the plumbing and electrical work. Rare for the time, the Winchester Mystery House boasted indoor plumbing, including coveted hot running water and push-button gas lighting available throughout the home. Additionally, forced air heating flowed throughout the house. Winchester hired at least two architects, but they would not have been to the calibre she was used to from New Haven. And it's speculated that this was why she chose to run the construction project herself. Instead of, you know, kind of letting other people do it, she would seek the advice of carpenters and just kind of basically, like, do things herself.
Okay.
So she did all the drawings and design, but didn't really have an overall plan. And apparently, if she was unhappy with the results of a particular bit of building, she would tear the section down to rebuild or abandon it for a while before returning to work on it again. And apparently, there was a particular tower that she'd had built, and she apparently had it torn down and rebuilt something like 13 times. I know.
Oh, dear.
And okay, so are you ready for this? So today, the building boasts 24,000 square feet, 10,000 windows, 2,000 doors, 160 rooms, 52 skylights, 47 stairways and fireplaces, 17 chimneys, 13 bathrooms and 6 kitchens. And roughly built at around the $5 million mark. Well, I mean, that would have been then. But so these days it would have been about $71 million today.
So
by then, right?
Yeah. Well,
from okay. An 8-room farmhouse to 160 rooms. That's crazy.
Just a little over budget.
Tiny bit. So it was really interesting as well because, I mean, I mentioned previously that she suffered with arthritis.
Yeah.
So she had showers installed instead of baths, which at the time was really rare. And if you look at the staircases, they all have like very low staircases to make it easier for her to climb. Because obviously, you know, like just in the winter, it would have been really painful to get around. And so she had these really low staircases designed for her to get up and down in.
Yeah.
And later on, she would have elevators installed as well.
Wow.
Yeah. Like this was really like top of the line kind of thing.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, in 1904, an earthquake struck San Jose and the Winchester Mystery House sustained a hefty amount of damage. And it said that she actually became trapped in one of the rooms. And and when they finally managed to get to the room that she was trapped in, they had to use a pry bar to get the door open to get her out. And apparently you can still see the markings of that pry bar on the wall today.
Ooh, that's something to look out for when we go and visit.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I thought that was kind of really cool.
Oh, I can't wait to go and visit.
I know, right?
And can you imagine the one ghost I ever actually meet is my true love, Sarah Winchester.
Oh, there you go. You see, she's just waiting for you, PJ. She's just waiting for you there.
She's just teasing all those other wannabe ghost hunters.
Waiting for her true love.
I just won't pick a competitor.
So the top three floors were ultimately removed, leaving the house with the four stories as we see it today. And it's thought that was very much the reason why we have like the doors that kind of lead to nowhere, and you know, where you kind of like open it and like fall into the courtyard below kind of thing, because they would have been like from like a balcony or something like that, which had fallen during the earthquake and just hadn't been like moved or changed at all.
Yeah.
Sarah Winchester, bless her, she got a lot of tabloid publicity because, you know, she was something of a, like, not recluse, but she kind of kept to herself. And obviously that kind of just made people gossip about her a lot. And of course, with this constant house being built on, you know, that's kind of added fuel to the fire a lot. And so, you know, she was kind of regarded as this, like, crazy old lonely woman kind of thing. And that's where a lot of the ghost stories, I think, kind of came from and originated.
Yeah. Nasty, jealous bastards making rumours up about my Sarah, my Sally. Yeah, lucky they're dead, otherwise I would have gone for a round of fisticuffs with them.
So, I mean, like, although, obviously, she didn't really, like, live with family, save for a favourite niece, I believe it was, lived with her for some years before she finally went and married. He had, you know, like, I don't think she was, like, really lonely, because, of course, she had servants, she had the, like, you know, the builders, the workers, and the construction crew.
Yeah. But,
and it's really cool as well. Something else that you'd probably like about her is the fact that, like, around that time, there was a lot of discrimination against, I believe it was either Japanese or Chinese immigrants that were moving over to the States, and so they would get a lot of discrimination against them. And Sarah didn't mind, she didn't care what, like, nationality you were. Like, she was more than happy to take on anyone who was, you know, good with a hammer and everything. And it said that, yeah, like, the construction crew and her servants were really, like, devoted to her. And apparently, like, they would keep her secrets, you know, like, they wouldn't talk to the tabloids or anything like that when people tried to, you know, get them for interviews and et cetera. Like, you know, they wouldn't get anything from them at all, which it's really nice to know that, you know, and she had, like, some people on her side that didn't think that she was mad.
I hope it was genuinely that, and it wasn't just the fact that they were being paid so much money, there was no point in talking to the tabloids. You wouldn't want to lose your job.
I mean, to be fair, that probably helped, but I don't know. I like to think that there's also because, you know, they liked her.
Yeah, you're a good soul, Mel, you are.
So, Sarah died on Tuesday, September the 5th, 1922, and she's buried back in New Haven at Evergreen Cemetery beside her husband William and her daughter Annie. And it said that when the news broke of her death, all construction on the house, like, ceased immediately. Like, everyone just put down their hammers, put down their tools and left.
See, we're not being paid anymore, boys, let's go. Nobody turned up to the funeral.
So Sarah left the majority of her fortune to charity, and the rest of it went to her beloved niece Daisy. But the house, which wasn't mentioned in her will, was auctioned off to the highest bidder, a former roller coaster designer named John H. Brown. And he and his wife opened the mansion a mere 6 months after Sarah's death. And it's been such a secretive place for so long. The public were eager to, you know, pull back the curtain and explore and basically try to get some answers about that house, really. And in fact, the legend of the haunted mansion became so popular that Harry Houdini himself stopped there on a nationwide tour. Now, Harry Houdini, he was a huge skeptic. Like, he would definitely be Team PJ.
Well, personal reason, because he lost his wife, didn't he? And then I remember there was a medium that was going to help him contact his wife through Arthur Conan Doyle. I remember there was some sort of link there. And Houdini just was like, this is absolute nonsense. Because he always wanted to disprove things, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, yeah. And, like, he was there on a nationwide tour in order to kind of debunk everything. And debunk spiritualism and mediumship and everything like that.
Cool. Yeah. Love Harry. Love Harry.
Yeah. Yeah. However, apparently visiting the seance stream at midnight, because why wouldn't you? And I believe he also went at Halloween because, like, he basically wanted to, like, you know, use it as a way to laugh and debunk the mediums there, basically. Yeah. It said that Houdini himself admitted that even he couldn't explain away oddities, and that he came away with more questions than answers. He would call it a house full of mysteries, and so the name the Winchester Mystery House was born.
Mm.
And fun fact as well that I think you'd like, PJ. Walt Disney actually created the Haunted Mansion because he was so inspired by the Winchester Mystery House.
That is excellent.
Isn't it, Jess? I thought you'd like that.
Yeah, that's one of my favourite rides. I love it.
Yeah. So, nearly a century after Houdini's visit, the public is still completely enamoured with the Winchester Mystery House and, of course, its resident spirits. And there's a few spirits which are said to roam the Mystery House, one of them being Sarah herself, because, I mean, you know, why wouldn't you? Like, you spend your entire lifetime pretty much building this amazing house. Why would you not spend your death there as well?
Like, wonder about wailing.
There's a famed a wheelbarrow ghost of a maintenance man or worker who's often seen pushing a wheelbarrow in the basement, and a spectral figure of a worker who staff have called Clyde. But right, the most commonly seen ghost doesn't have a name. It's just a shadow peering through one of the mansion's many windows. One blink and it's gone. Could it be Sarah Winchester herself, still overseeing her passion project? Or is it one of the so-called vengeful spirits that haunted her while she was still alive? Or perhaps it's something else entirely. Well,
yeah,
I do wonder, like, if there are spirits there, which there could very well be, I can't help but wonder whether it would be more, like, kind of residual energy there.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I mean, like, these people, they spent so long at this house, you know. Hats have gone on.
Well, yeah, they put their whole blood, sweat and tears in there. So that's what you
see. Exactly.
Their blood and sweat pouring down the wall. Just like the, what's it called? The Stanley Kubrick one. With, what's it? Oh, The Shining. It's The Shining House.
Ah, The Shining House. Yes. So there's one particular story of a maintenance worker called Denny. He reports that one morning after entering the water tower that is generally, like, cordoned off from visitors, he heard the patter of footsteps above. So he ascended up the stairs, kind of annoyed to let the, but the footsteps always seemed to be one step ahead of him and one floor above. His search came to the roof with no one in sight.
Someone faster than him.
Yeah, but, you know, if they've gone right up to the roof, then where would they have gone from there? Like, there was nowhere else to go.
Well, he's making up then.
Yes, there.
There's no evidence there. Bring me evidence.
So, one very cool thing is that in 2016, the preservation team discovered a new room in the house.
Mm-hmm.
It had been sealed off following the earthquake of 1906, which destroyed a portion of the home. And the room was filled with perfectly preserved Victorian furniture, clothing, paintings, and a very creepy doll.
Oh, for fuck's sake. It's always the doll.
It's always the doll, baby. Creepy things. No. Just no. So the Winchester House has appeared on quite a few TV shows and films. Obviously, we've mentioned the film that will not be named.
What?
As well as Ghost Adventures, Project Fear, and BuzzFeed Unsolved. And, woohoo, yes. And,
oh, boys.
I have to say, I do enjoy watching Project Fear. And a little while ago, they actually went to the Winchester House to investigate. And there's this wonderful bit where one of them, like, got completely lost trying to get to one of the rooms.
Yeah, it's not like, that great.
Well, no, exactly. Like, this would be, like, the ultimate game of hide-and-seek.
Oh, yeah. But then what if something found you that you didn't want to be found?
Well, yeah. No one would hear you scream, would they? Also, another very cool thing is that you can actually now get married at the Winchester House.
Oh, yes.
Right. Like, if Bernie and I weren't already married, then I would be insisting we got married there. I didn't care how long it would take to save up. We would be getting married at the Winchester House.
Oh my God, that would be awesome.
Right? Maybe
that over the Conjuring House. Imagine if someone wanted to get married at the Conjuring House.
No, just no. They can.
They're not.
No. Absolutely not.
Nope. Now, what would you, because this is the first time we're going to do this on season three. We did it in season two at the end, but we want to carry on the tradition now. What is this on the Nellometer? And in case anybody wants to know, who hasn't listened before, the Nellometer is a scale of 0 to 5, where 0 is...
Yeah,
I'm not bothered. To 5. Yeah, to 5, which is...
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we had a couple of those ones on season 2.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to book them in.
Oh.
Where's this one?
So, I'd say probably... This one will probably be a 3 on an Nellometer.
Really? You'd want to get married there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, it doesn't, like, everything that I've read about it, it doesn't feel like it's a negative place at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's such a unique building, too. Like, even if it was a 0 on an Nellometer, I'd still want to get married there because, like, I don't think there's anything else like it in the world.
Yeah, it's beautiful from what I've seen.
Yeah.
I'm definitely really excited to get over there and do a proper video there. That'll be so cool.
For sure. Like, yeah. So, yeah. I'd probably give it a 3. Like, I reckon that there's more than likely some kind of spiritual happening there. But...
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that I'd be like, oh, no, I'd never go there. Like, I'd be terrified to go. No. Like, from everything that I've read, like, Sarah herself just seems a really lovely person. Like,
yeah.
If she were alive today, then that, then I would definitely want to hang out with her. She just seems really, really nice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
So, cool. Yeah. I would say three for me. Yeah.
Right. Oh, there you are, viewers and listeners. That was the end of episode one of season three of Spooky Shenanigans. The Winchester House of Mysteries. What are all your thoughts? Do you think the mysterious rooms, the stairways that lead nowhere, the doors that lead outside of the house, do you think they are filled with the spirits and the ghosts and the residual energy of people long gone? Or do you think, again, it's another great marketing tactic to get people in there and get married and hitched? Let us know. We all know what Mel and I think.
I will just add as well that apparently it said that Sarah would sleep in a different room every night in order to try to like avoid like the ghosts. I mean, can you imagine as well, like being a ghost, manifesting, going, right, I'm going to, you know, go and haunt him.
That's right. Right. Unless they're like the ghosts from Ghosts, where they just, you know, walk on through and go, oh, yeah, she's in this one. She's in this one. Come on. She's having a chat. She's having a shower. Oh, stop looking at her. She's having a shower. Alison, dear Alison, my love for you.
Yeah, I feel so sad that Ghosts is finished now.
Yeah. Me too.
Okay, but that finale got me.
Got you right in the feels.
It did.
But like Ghosts, this episode is coming to an end. So I just want to thank you all for listening and watching, of course, if you're watching this on YouTube, when I get it up. If you've enjoyed it, please do subscribe to the podcast and leave a review and comments. We love that. And we'll see you on the next episode, which is going to be what now? What have we got in the next one?
We have, I believe it's the Black Eyed Kids next week.
Oh, creepy. Yeah, so stay tuned for that one. But yeah. As usual, we've been your hosts, PJ, thank you, and Nell.
Thank you.
And as usual, dear listeners, dear watchers, stay spooky.
Bye.